First of all, big Yashikayach. Big Yashikayach to Rabbi Yanki.
Yashikayach.
This is the first time talking about
it. Yanki is a big tzaddik. Yanki is a big tzaddik.
I think this is like the last on the list to, you know, you check that box. Baruch Hashem. The Ranshah should bless you. The house should be full. The Shechina should be full. Brachas and Nachas. And Simcha and Gezund and Parnas and Bereva. All good things. All good things. And the Schus of Iskashas, they're all coming together. And the Schus of Iskashas to the Tzaddik, or Dover, the Mitl Rebbe. You should be Zaycha to all the brachas that come with Iskashas to Tzaddikim on such a major regular Hashem. For all of us together. You know, what does it say on the flyer that it's for the yard site of the Mitl Rebbe? So the truth is that, it's really, I guess you can say it's the Mitl Rebbe weekend, right? Because the Mitl Rebbe, the second Rebbe Trevor of the Baal Tanya's son, Rav Dov Ber, so his birthday was Tes Kislev. His yard site was also Tes Kislev, which is a very unique thing for a tzaddik to have the same birthday in yard site. We know from Chazal that's considered, that was by him. And then his Yom HaGeulah, his day of redemption, was Yud Kislev. He was put into prison, just like the Baal Tanya was in prison, basically for similar charges of helping Klal Yisrael and teaching Chassidus. That's pretty much what it was. And it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 28 years later. And he was freed from prison at Yud Kislev. So Tes Kislev is his birthday in Yortzeit. Yud Kislev is his day of Geulah. It happens to be the year that it happened. It was also a Sunday, so it was mamish like this year, the Sunday of Parshas V'Yishlach. And so it was the fact that the flyer, I think, if I'm making a mistake, right, the flyer said the yard site. The truth is the yard site birthday. But we're going to see. That's him. It's true. It's one big package deal. The Yom HaGeulah of the Mitl Rebbe and the birthday and yard site of the Mitl Rebbe is really one inyan. So, like I mentioned before, the Torah of the Mitl Rebbe is very, very deep and complicated and so on. And it's hard for the average year to learn it and to break through. So I guess what I'll try to do for the next few minutes is just speak a little bit about the inyan, again, the fiyar madrega, the inyan of the Mitl Rebbe, and by way of iskashrus, imkashrus also the tzaddik, and then maybe take away a little avoida that we can have in order to connect more to the tzaddik. You know, whenever I speak about a tzaddik like that, I always make the hakdama that anything we're saying now is really, you know, it's not proper to talk about such big people, but it's by way of connection, by way of iskashrus. There's a letter from the Rebbe Rashab. The Rashab said that if it increases one's Yiras Shamayim and one's Avodas Hashem, then you can. I guess the question was asked: is an average Yid allowed to like say Pshatlach in the Sefer Tanya, like the? So the Rishab responded, if it increases in your Avodas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim and so on, then Gesuntay. So we'll use that as a license also. Yeah. We'll say in Yonim about the Mitl Rebbe just for the purposes of hopefully Bez Hashem, increasing Yiras Shamayim and Avodas Hashem. So what I mentioned before that after the Stalkus of the Baal Tanya, there was some hesitation from some Hasidim to follow the Mitl Rebbe because his style in Chassidus was very different than the Baal Tanya. So I mentioned one of the inyan before is this difference in Avodah, that the Baal Tanya was, their Dveikus was different. But just focusing in on the Torah in terms of the Chassidus. So the major difference between the Baal Tanya and the Mitl Rebbe is that relative to each other, the Baal Tanya, relatively speaking, spoke very concise and short, even though, again, compared to other Svarim, especially like, you know, other, you know, in Poland and Hungary and things like that, the Baal Tanya was marach. But relatively speaking, it was short, it was condensed, especially before Yutis Kislev, for sure. Even after Yutis Kislev, the Baal Tanya spoke more, but still it was pretty condensed. When I came to the Mitl Rebbe, it was Barachov Gedoyla. It was expansive, very, very marich, back and forth, ins and outs. what makes the writings of the Rebbe that much more difficult, besides the teichen, it was very, very deep in Yanim, he's teaching, but the style also is difficult because in one mimer, he'll be chayzer, he'll retract from something he said in the beginning, like derech pilpul, like in a way of going back and forth. Sometimes it's almost as if he's having this back and forth, the shakvatari in his head, and this is what he's writing on paper. He's not like getting just the maskan and then saying that. He's going through the shakvatari, which makes it that much more difficult. But it was barachava with the bimarech and back and forth and going back and forth. It was a very, very different style. But so let me just share with you like this. What's the way the tzaddikim has sort of been magdir the inyonim of the Baal Tanya, Mitla Rebbe, then going forward. So there were seven Chabad Rebbes, right? So seven is not a random number. Seven corresponds to the seven midas of Chesed, Gevur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, and Malchus. But the way I think maybe it goes back to the Friedrich Rebbe, it goes back earlier, that the way the Friedrich Rebbe, they were magdir, the Baal Tanya, with the Mitla Rebbe, was Chochmah versus Bina. Chachma versus Bina. Chachma, you know, in the Svarim, Chachma always means that quality of like that flashbulb, moment of inspiration, the idea, the core idea. So sometimes that happens, right? A person, you know, you're working on a certain problem. Sometimes you're not even working on a problem, an idea comes. That idea comes, where does it come from? It comes out of nowhere. And when that flashbulb moment or that idea comes, it's very concise, it's underdeveloped, but it's there. That's called Chachma. Then what happens? Then you take the idea and you begin to flesh it out. You begin to tweak it, going like this and like that. That's called Bina. Maven Dovim Ritach Dovim. So the nature of Bina is that it is building, it's taking the material that is introduced by Chachma, right? That's what Bina is. And it takes that material and is marchev it, it expands it. That's Bina. So the way that Tzaddikim explained is that the Baal Tanya versus the Mitla Rebbe, the Baal Tanya is Chachma. The Torah of the Baal Tanya was almost out of nowhere. It's Yesh Miayin, it's new ideas. But it was Tzumzach, condensed, but not fleshed out. Comes the Mitla Rebbe, and the Mitla Rebbe fleshes it all out. And that's the Koyach of Bina, Mavin Dabr Tech Dover, to Yimarchav it. And there's not only do you see this in the style, but there's a number of aspects of the Mitla Rebbe that you see this inyan of him relative to the Baal Tanya being Bina. So for example, the name of his Svarim, the name of the Svarim that he wrote are associated with the word with the concept of Bina. One of the main Svarim that he wrote is called Imre Bina. Imre Bina. The other Svarim that he wrote, instead of having like Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, he used the term Shar. Shar Hatfila, Shar Hatshuva, the word Shar. Shar is also associated with Bina, non Shar Bina. It's also associated with that. Again, like I said, the style of the Baal Tanya, of the Mitla Rebbe is one of Mevim Tadavim Tachdavar. It's Archava, with expansiveness and breath. That's a Bina quality. Even the fact that his days are Tes Kislev and Yud Kislev, right? His birthday and Yahrzeit is Tes. And his day of Gula is Yud. Well, when you put Yud and Tes together, that's Yud Tes Kislev. But instead of it just being Yud Tes Kislev, it's Tes and a Yud. Chav, it's like broken apart. That's the nature of Bina, is breaking something apart. Maybe in Dabr Tech Dabr. Like the Baal Tanya is Chachma. Chachma is Yud Tes Kislev, Yud Tes. But comes Bina, and Bina says, one second. There's two separate letters in there. There's a Yud and there's a Tes. So it's clarifying the pieces. And that's what he did. When the Baal Tanya left prison, the moment of his gula, so it's well known that he said that he was saying Telem, and he got to the pasuk of Pad v'Shalom Nafshi. That's what he said. Now, the truth is, when the Mitla Rebbe also got out of prison, he was also Vashkoch HaPratis. He was also saying Telem, and he was also saying the pasuk of Pad v'Shalom Nafshi. But here's what's interesting: when the Baal Tanya get out of prison, Yud Tes Kislev, so Yud Tes, if we do the Tehillim of the month, right? So Yud Tes is not that pasuk of Pad v'Shalom Nafshi. The answer is he was saying Tehillim the entire Tehillim every week. So on the day of the week that he was redeemed from prison, I think it was a Tuesday. And on Tuesday, that capital is in Tuesday. But if you said Tilum today, the Tilum of the month today, you would notice that today Yud Kislev was part of Bishal Nashi. So it means that Mittler Rebbe was saying Tilum based on the month, breaking it down in the month, and the Baal Tani was saying Tilum based on the week. That's not a coincidence either. A week is much more condensed than a month is broken apart. A month is broken apart. So again, it's also Chachma versus Bina. Relatively speaking, a week would be the saying Tehillim all in 1 week, that's more condensed. Spreading it out in smaller chunks and smaller pieces, that's going to be more Bina. Even his name was Dov Ber. So the word Dov, we'll see about this soon, but the word Dov Ber, means a bear, right? It means the animal of a bear. So the Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Megillah, it's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara compares Persians to a bear. Rav Yosef said a number of aspects that they're similar to each other. So we'll speak about it soon in a moment. But Paras means a piece. It means a piece of something. It's also Bina, taking something that's whole and breaking it into pieces. It's the Klech of Bina. So it's a woman's act. Fine, that concept of the Mittler Rebbe being more Bina versus Chochma of the Baal Tanya, that's not my Chiddush, that's well established. But there's something that always bothered me. And this is where, okay, you know, I'll say something maybe a little bit new, although what I'm going to tell you now I think was inspired by a letter that I read from the Rebbe's father, from Levi Yitzchak. So if it's true, it's Reb Levick's Torah. If it's not true, it's Zakatinsky. Okay, that's the way we're gonna say it. So he's called the Mittler Rebbe, Admar Emtsoi, the Middle Rebbe. Why Middle? Okay, because they have the Baal Tanya and the Tzemach Tzedek, so he's in the middle. Whenever you in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, the term middle, when you Chochma and Bina, right? Chochma is always oriented to the right, and Bina is oriented to the left. That's always the way it is. So the middle is Das, Teferis, Yisai, there's the Kavu Emtsoi. Why would he be, if his Inyan is Bina, why would he be called Admar Emtsoi, the Mittler Rebbe? I understand that he's middle in terms of like, you want to, for some reason, we're that term is like seeing the Baal Tanya, the Mittler Rebbe, and the Tzemach Tzedek as like this like structure by itself. So I understand the Mittler Rebbe is like the second Rebbe. So I guess that's in the middle. But that's not the normal term. You want to call him the Tzveita Rebbe, I don't know, the second Rebbe. Why the middle? When you use that term middle, it means you're thinking of a structure. It's like you're thinking spatially. You know, and when you're thinking spatially, Bina's not the middle. Bina's on the left. So why would he, so if you're, I don't know, so, I don't want to call him the left Rebbe, but if you're thinking of it, so call him the second Rebbe. That's not the term middle. It's always difficult to me. So that bothered me. There's another strange Zach. He was very lengthy. He wrote a lot. He wrote a lot. He spoke Mamorim, like Mamish, endlessly. And he wrote a lot as well. It's well known that when he signed his name, as one word, Dov Ber. Right, Dalet Vav Beis. Instead of having a separate word, another Beis Ayin Resh Dov Ber, he would use the same Beis for Dov and Ber. Why? Like all of a sudden, there's not enough ink. Shot. Okay, I'm not saying these are not the Veltz Kashas. Holy Dover. There's another interesting thing. What makes what was unique to the Mittler Rebbe, which was his attachment to Chassidus. I mentioned this on Shabbos by the Kiddush, but it was very loud, so I don't know if anyone heard. But his it's interesting, when he was born, again, I guess I'll just mention another like oddities, like few like interesting observations. I'm like, okay, it is what it is. But again, like I said, for the purpose of his kashas, when he was born, so the Baal Tanya didn't have a son for a long time. And he kept on trying to get the Mizutra Magid, his Rebbe, to give him a bracha for his son. The Mizutra Magid kept on pushing him off, until eventually he gave him a bracha, and the Mittler Rebbe was born. The Mittler Rebbe was born after the Histalkus of the Magid. So the Baal Tanya said that really, when his son was born, when the Mittler Rebbe was born, he said, I really would like to name him Hamnuna. 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 Hamnuna is from the Zohar Kadosh, Malat Tanoim. I wouldn't name Hamnuna, but since my Rebbe was nostalgic and he was born because of a bracha for the Mizrach Shemaget, so I'll call him Doiv Ber. So, also bothers me, if the Baal Tanya, why would the Baal Tanya say that? Why do you have to let him heal you when he's down here, nothing to talk about? So the answer is, if the Baal Tanya said that he wanted to name him Hamnuna, but he's not, because he's rather Doiv Ber, so it must be Doiv Ber is also Hamnuna. It must be. So what's the connection between Hamnuna and Doiv Ber? The Mittel Rebbe's hiskashus to Chassidus was something altogether different. His chias came from Chassidus. His chias came from it, literally. I mentioned this story before, that a week before his histalkus, so he was unconscious. The doc, you know, he had barely a pulse. The doctors were miyayish. And when the Chassidim saw that the doctors were miyayish, the Chassidim didn't want to give up. And they told the doctors that there is an Eitzah, we have an Eitzah, what's the Eitzah? Give us permission, give him permission to say a Maimer. He was unconscious. Give him permission. Do it. Okay, so the doctor whispered in his ear, the Rebbe has permission from the doctors, we give him permission, the Rebbe, to say a Maimer. Opens up his eyes, gets up, makes a space to say a Maimer. It was Mamish Eschias. Arkadekach, that you mentioned this also, right, that when he was imprisoned, the doctors convinced the officials that they have to live the different kufis in his imprisonment, but they that every week or whatever it is, a few times a week, they would have twice to let it, twice a week, they would have to let 50 chassidim would have to be able to be allowed to go in for him to be able to say a maimer, otherwise it would be dangerous for his health. It was true. His chias came from he died in a maimer, like that was the last words on his mouth were ki imcha mikar chayim ba'orcha nira ar, that pasuk ki imcha mikar chayim, with the word chayim he was nostalgic, similar to Reb Shimon says in the Zohar Kodesh also, when his nostalgus was with the pasuk ki sham tziva Hashem es habracha chayim ad olam, the word chayim is also nostalgic. So they both had a nostalgus like that. It's a pelta gezachin. So what is this inyan of, and I said before, like the Mittler Rebbe said, his goal in life is that when Chassidim meet each other, the conversation is Chassidus, like the conversation is Atik Aruch, like that's the conversation. Like it was Mamish's life, Chaim itself. The name of his sefer, he called his farm, a set of farm, Taras Chaim. So what is this inyan? Okay, so let me share with you an idea. In the Parsha, one of the tragic parts of the Parsha, so to speak, is the histalkus of Rachel Imenu, right? So Rachel Imenu gives birth to Binyamin, and Nebuch Lolenu, she passes away in childbirth, right? That's it. And Yaakov calls him Ben Oini, right? But she called him Binyamin, so he's called Binyamin. What's the site of the histalkus of Rachel Sepistam? She's nostalgic when Binyamin is born. So in the Kisveri, we find the following idea. Okay, so here's the idea. The idea is that Chazal say that when there's a, when the husband and wife, when there's a bir rishayna, right, by the bir rishayna, so the Gemara says a loshen ein isha kareses bris el misha sol kli, that there's a certain kareses bris, a certain bond that takes place by a bir rishayna. And the Gemara says, and Chazal say, that the ability to become pregnant with the future bias is there has to be a first bias in order to make her into a kli, so to speak, in order to have children. Fine, that's the Gemara. In the Kisveri, we find the following idea: is that during that bias rishayna, in order for a woman to have children. Obviously, physically, it's an undertaking. You know, it's an avoda. But ruchni is also, it's a big avoda. See, a neshama, before a neshama is born, where's the neshama? It's Gan Eden. Yes and no. It's two parts. There's two parts to a neshama before it's born. There's one part of the neshama which is kadosh and tar, it's in Gan Eden, it's gevaldik, and it has to be schlepped down. There's another part of the neshama which is all the way in the klipas, in the abyss. It's in chaos. And part of the process of bringing a neshama into the world is, yes, you have to schlep down the part of the neshama that's above, but you also have to be mevar, you have to fix, you have to work out. Again, on a spiritual level, we're not doing this physically, but on a spiritual level, tikkunim have to be done in order to prepare the lowest part of the neshamas to be able to be functional in the world. So there's birurim that have to take place in order for neshama to come into the world. And primarily speaking, that job is the isha. Is the isha. That's the mitzvah. That the nature of the isha is that in order for in the process of becoming pregnant and so on, her neshama is Isaac in birurim, in sifting and clarifying and working, being misakin, the neshamas of the child that she's Bez Hashem going to carry. That's a big undertaking. Now, the Arizal says, in order for the neshama of the woman to have the strength to make those birurim, because that's a big avoida. It's a big avoida to fix neshamas. So in order for that to happen, she has to be given a certain kayach. And the kayach that she receives is by bir rishayna. The bir rishayna that takes place between the husband and wife, Chazal say again, it makes her into a kli. In Apisoid, what's happening is that she's given a certain kayach. It's called Rucha de Shadi Begavah. That's the language in the Zohar Kaddish. A certain ruach, a certain kayach, a certain ar that descends into the Isha by Birushina, and that what gives her the kayach to then make the Birurim in order to have children. Where does this kayach come from? It's the kayach. It's definitely a gvura, a bina dika kayach, because again, it's a kayach that she's going to use to make birurim, to sift, to work things out. So it's a gvura, but it's coming from a very, very high place. In the Kabbalah Svarim, it's coming from a madrega that's called reisha d'lo yasyada, the unknowable mind. The mamish all the way on top. It's a kayach that comes down. Okay, ruach d'shalei v'gavah, says the Arizal. If in theory. Now, this doesn't happen, Chas v'Shalom, but if in theory this kayach would at some point leave the Isha after she receives a baby Rishon, at some point it would leave, then that would cause her histalkus. Says the Arizal, that's what happened by Binyam. When Binyam was born, me'ezatam shiyah, we're not going to this why, but me'ezatam shiyah, nishmas Binyamin dragged along with it the Rucha Deshadi Begavah, the kayach that Rachel Imenu had by the Bir Rishayna from Yaakov Avin. And once Binyamin takes that, then Rachel is nostalgic. Okay. And that's what Binyamin is. Fine. Mefarshim ask, that's an Ariz. That's Eitz Chaim. Other places also. But the Mekubalim ask Akasha. I don't understand. One second. The Isha was alive before Bir Rishayna, because she had her own Hashem. Okay, fine. So now she has to be Isaac in Tikkun HaNeshamis in order to have a child. So she needs an added kayach, that's called the Rucha Deshadi Begavah, this kayach from Birushayna. Fine. But she had an existence, she had a life before Birushayna. So why? So if Mezitam Shia, this Ruach leaves by the case of Binyamin. Okay, so let her go back to what she was before Birushayna. Like, so you want to tell me that after that removal, she won't be able to have children anymore? Okay, fine. I understand. Because that's what allowed her to have children. But that wasn't what was keeping her alive. She was alive before that. What changed? That's the kash. That's the kash. What's the teretz? The teretz is like this. Again, without going into too much arichas over here, the teretz is that this rucha the shadi v'gavah by Birushayna is not just getting an added kayach. It's not like just getting another bracha. You know, just another bracha from a tzaddik that you should have hatzlacha. It's not like that. That Rucha Deshadi Begavah is so intense, it's such a brilliant light, that the very existence of the Isha and her personal neshama becomes completely enwrapped with it. I mean, it's not like, again, a person goes for a bracha, so you get a bracha and you move on, whatever. So if I told you later on the bracha was taken away, okay, you know, it's a chaval, but it is what it is. But this Rucha Deshadi Begavah that's coming from such a high place, it's not just stam bracha. This is such an intense light, and it's in truth the very root of the Isha's neshama itself. Then when it comes, then until this point, the Isha had her own neshama, and it was functional without this intense Rucha Deshadi Begavah. But once that Rucha Deshadi Begavah comes, then her neshama is wrapped up with it. And then if Chas v'Shalom the Rucha Deshadi Begavah were to be removed, then that's a histalkus, because you can no longer separate her individual neshama from this kayach. This is not a stam kayach. This is such an intense, unbelievably overwhelming, brilliant essential light that the Isha now has, that you can no longer separate what she was before with what she is now. The personal neshama of the Isha is now bound to it. Again, this is B'kitzur Nimritz, a taste of that sugya that we find the Kisiri. That's what happened with the Yom. That's the story of Rachel Imeinu. What does that have to do with this? So I referenced before the Gemara that talks about bears and bears being compared to Persians. So let me read you the Gemara. So it's a Gemara, it's a few places in Shas, but it's a Gemara in Kedushin, Ayin Beis. Okay, the Gemara says like this. Tani Rav Yosef. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. There was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, where in his dream there was like different chayas and different wild animals that appeared. So the pasuk says that that Varuch Chavi Achri Tinyana Dam Yiladoiv, that the second animal that came was like a bear. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said Elu Parsim. That's a reference to the second exile of Paras and Madai. Those are the Persians. Why are Persians compared to a daiv? Sha'oichlem v'shoisim k'daiv. They eat and drink like a bear. Musrbolim k'daiv. They're fat like a bear. Umagadlin seir k'daiv. And they grow a lot of hair, like they're hairy like a bear. Okay? V'ein lehem menucha k'daiv. And they're restless. They're restless like a bear. Okay? Says the Gemara Vayta, Rav Ami, ki havachazi parsa derochiv. Rav Ami, whenever he saw a Persian riding a horse, he would always say, Omar, hainu duva naida, a traveling bear. That's what he would say, traveling bear. Omar le Rebbe le Levi, it's Pal de Gemar. Rebbe said to Levi, Levi was his Talmud. Rebbe said to Levi, Hareini Parsiim. He said to Levi, give me a mushal to what Parsiim are like. It's a funny question for Rebbe to ask, okay? Give me a mashal of what the Parsim are like. Amrlei, he said, Doimim lechayola shel beis David. They're similar to the soldiers of David HaMelech. What's going on over here? So here's the site. The site of what the Gemara is telling us is that the inyan of a dive. Let's go with the last Gemara first. That last statement, that a doiv, that the Persians, I'm sorry, were compared to bears, are similar to the soldiers of David HaMelech. David HaMelech always corresponds to the Isha, to the feminine quality, Malchus, to the Shechina. That's what David HaMelech is compared to. Evan Mosa, Bayin Hoys, L'Rishpina. The soldiers of Malchus-based David corresponds, just like in Isha, on an individual level, is Isaac. She also wages a battle. Her battle is to fix the neshamas of eventually her children in order to bring them into the world. The soldiers of David HaMelech are also Isaac in this battle. Just like every Eshes Chayil is Isaac in this avoid of Tikkun HaNeshamas, of her own children, so too Malchus based David, which is the collective Eshes Chayil of the Ribbono Shel of Klal Yisrael, the chayolos shel beis David, the soldiers of David HaMelech, are also Isaac in Tikkun HaNeshama. And all the mashalim the Gemara gave before, which is that the Persians are like a bear, that they eat and drink like a bear. The inyan of eating and drinking, again, these are I can't be, it's hard to be marach and to explain too much. But in the Kisveri, the inyan of eating is also berurim. It's also sifting. It's also sifting and clarifying. It's also sifting. It's the same process of taking something which is not worked out and sifting it through. That's eating and drinking. And ein la menucha, the lack of menucha, is also the avoid of birurim. All the mashal the Gemara gave all points to one thing, which is the inyan of a bear and the inyan of the Persians is this avoida of similar to what an isha has to do in tikkun hanashamas, in birurim, in the avoid of birurim. Now, just as in order for an isha to have the koich to do this, she has to receive that inyan of Rucha Deshadi Begavah, that unbelievable intense light, that then her personal neshama becomes completely enwrapped with it, to the point of where they can't be separated. So too, that also has to be in place in order for this avayda of Chayol based on it, this avayda of Tikkun HaNeshama is also, it's the same process. This is hinted to in the name of the Mittler Rebbe, Doiv Ber. Doiv, as I said, is this koyach of, like the Gemara compares, of Chayolos Shalveis David, the soldiers of David HaMelech, going down and being Mavar Berurim, affixing Tikkun HaNeshamas. The word bear, which is obviously Yiddish or English also, for the word Doiv, also means something else. The word it says in Pasuk, Bar Ani V'lo Yeda. I might be botching the Pasuk. Ani Bar V'lo Yeda. Ani Bar V'lo Yeda. Bar, which is also the same letters as bear, bar means nothing. I don't know anything. That's a hint to the root of where Ruch and Shalim was coming from, which is Reish V'lo Yeda, the unknowable mind. And the fact that it's also the word doiv in translation in Targum is also significant. Although I don't know if I'll be able to explain that too much. But the word let's say in this context the word bear comes from the word bar, which means to not know. The Mittler Rebbe wrote his name Doiv Bear, because what he's saying is that the din of doiv, which means, like the Gemara says, Kechayola shel beis David, to go and be Mesakin Neshamas, and to fix Neshamas, the ability to make Birurim, to go to low places and to uplift, just like Inesh Yisrael has to do, and just like the example of all the Chayol shel beis David have to do, on the behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, they're going to the lowest places to fix those lowest Neshamas. The only way to do that, the only way you have the Koyach to do that, is because at the same time you have flowing within you this unbelievable R that's coming from the most exalted place that's called Bar. And therefore that's why he puts those two names together of Doiv Ber. Because you can't separate the two. The only Kayach that you have to do Doiv, which is Kechayosh based of it to be Mesak and Lo Neshamas, is because at the same time you're connected to that highest Madrega that's called Ber, which is Bar and Evil Yeda of completely not knowing. this is perhaps why, when it comes to the Middle Rebbe, he's called Admor HaMtzoy, the Middle Rebbe. As I said before, so when you see the Middle Rebbe, there's two separate things. There's who he is in terms of the infrastructure of Chabad Chassidus in general, in which case he's Bina, like the Tzaddikim said, Baal Tani is Chochma, Middle Rebbe is Bina, Meiv Norm Tov Dover, Rechav Yisanor. B'chulu, he's expansive, fine. But then there is who the Mittler Rebbe is personally, and his personal hiskashus to chassidus, and his personal inyan. And so, on an individual level, I guess you can. Again, he's a nasi, so it's hard to say individually. But isolating him outside of that sort of like longer structure of Lubavitcher Rebbe's. Isolating him, the name of the Mittler Rebbe is this koyach of Rucha Deshadi Begava, of Rucha Deshadi Begava, the koyach of making Berurim, of fixing Neshamas, Kechayol Shebeis David, which is the name of Daiv, but coming from being connected to the most exalted, highest light, and that exalted, highest light now completely overtakes your identity is completely enwrapped with that. This is why, as I said, the Chassidus by the Mittler Rebbe was life itself. It was life itself. You couldn't separate the two. This Rucha Deshadi Begava, this intense light that comes to Chayol Shel Beis David, to the soldiers of David HaMelech, to give them the strength to fix Neshamas, that's the light of Chassidus. But the inyan of the Mittler Rebbe is that the light of Chassidus by him was so intense. It was so bar ani v'lo yeda. It was so reish v'lo yisyad. It was so unbelievably exalted that his personal neshama was completely swallowed up in it, to the point of where you can no longer separate him from the light of Chassidus that was flowing through him. Ad kedei kach, that again, like I said, that his chias came from a mind. By the way, why he himself said that the reason why he passed away, the reason is because at that time there was going to be a gzeira coming from the Russian government of taking Nebuch Yidden, drafting them into the Russian army, like in an intense way. And he said, I can't see that. So you see that his inyan, What's the opposite of the Mitl Rebbe? What the opposite of Chayol Shel Beis David? Soldiers of David HaMelech, what's the opposite of that? Soldiers for the Russian government, for the Russian army. That's the opposite of the Mitl Rebbe. So the Indian of the Mitl Rebbe is soldiers for Beis David, is being Misakin Neshamas. And the way to be Misakin Neshamas, the particular Indian of the Mitl Rebbe is that infusing within Klal Yisrael the ability to be Misakin Neshamas by bringing the unbelievably deep and transcendent light of Chassidus in a way of Ruach HaDeShadi Begavon, in the way of Bir Rishayna. And when Chassidus comes in that way, it completely becomes entangled in the best of ways with the neshama of the person himself, to the point of where they can't be separated. And that's, again, that's the name Doiv Ber. That's why Chassidus is so completely attached with him. That's why the name Hamnuna is also related to this. Hamnuna comes from the word Nune Yam, which means a fish. A fish is something that is unique in terms of the chiyus of the fish comes from the mayim, and you can't the yisoid hamayim that a fish is created from. It's still considered a part of. I have mentioned this many times. The halacha is that a mikveh, it's not a fish is not going to chatzitz in a mikveh because it's considered mayim. It's considered like mayim. It's completely part of the mayim that it comes from. That's the site of Chassidus by the Mitl Rebbe, is that Chassidus wasn't a tosefes, a nice thing, a bracha on the side. It was such an unbelievably intense light coming from a high place that his personal neshama was completely engulfed in it. Because that's the model for this kayach of Ruach HaDeShadi Begava, where the individual neshama, the personal neshama of the Eish HaSchayil, becomes completely a part of that high light of Ruach HaDeShadi Begava, and that's the only way how she'll have the kayach to be misakin the neshamas. And so this is what the Mitl Rebbe was about. So, what else though? I don't know if I'm trying to think of other the ha'aris that I made to answer them. But that's this is why, again, I mentioned before the nice with the Mitl Rebbe, that despite the fact that he was so himmeldick, mamish himmeldick, and his dveikus was so like otherworldly, like I mentioned, he would have his eyes open and he wouldn't see anything. But at the same time, like I mentioned before, he rolled up his sleeve to show that all the bruises and the physical suffering that he had, all because of the kulkulim in his effort of the misak and neshamas. And those are not two separate things. His inyan is to introduce us to this idea of where the koyach of being misak and neshamas comes from the unbelievably intense light of Chassidus that comes in, akadekach, that the person himself is completely transformed and wrapped up into it. So halacha lemaisa, one thing to take away is that there's two different ways to look at Yiddishkeit. There's two different ways to look at avodas Hashem, to look at davening, to look at Chassidus, which is like there's me, and then there's what I learn and davening and mitzvahs. It's a separate zach. But the holy Mitl Rebbe is not like that. It's like, no, that's not a separate zach. It might feel like that until you're introduced to Torah. But once you're introduced to true avodas Hashem and Torah, then that light has to be so overwhelmingly potent and so personal and relevant that your individual neshama no longer can be separated from that anymore. And that inability to disconnect, that's exactly what the Mitl Rebbe... That's what Mitl Rebbe's inyan is. Again, that's why, like I said, the pasuk that he was nostalgic with was ki imcha mekar chayim, barcha nira ar, ki imcha mekar chayim. That's what his metzias was. That his life was bound just like a fish. It's bound to the mekar chayim. It's part of the mekar that it comes from, because that's what the Ruach HaDeShadi Begava is. It's the makar of the individual Isha's life, to the point of where when it's reintroduced to the Isha, you can no longer separate that individual neshama from where it's coming from. That's the... I forget, that's the whole thing. in the Sfarim, right, so like I said, when you talk about right versus left, so left, like I said, in the infrastructure of like Chachma Bina, so Bina's on the left, and Chachma's on the right, but there's another way to think of it is that right is Zachar and left is Nekeva. That's always the way it is. The right side is the more Zachar side. It's Chachma and Chesed. and Netzach and so on. And left is more the female. The middle would be the Yichud of Zachar Nekeva. And that's exactly what Ruach HaDeshad Vagva means. It means the neshama of the Nekeva, where she's now walking around after Bir Rishayna, is that her neshama is now completely wrapped up with a kayach that she received from her zachar by Bir Rishayna. And so the Midler Rebbe, that term is not so much of a description of his place sort of in the shalshelis and the shtalshelis of Chabad Chasidus in terms of him being Bina. But it's a description of when you isolate who the Midler Rebbe was personally. The Midler Rebbe personally is that inyan of Ruach HaDeshad Vagva, which is the existence of the neshama of the Nekeva that no longer has a separate identity from the neshama of the from that ruach that she received from the zachar, to the point of where it's a zachar Nekeva walking. It's Amsoi. It's the Mitla Rebbe. That's who he is. So that's what the Kach is. But again, like I said, the takeaway is that Avodas Hashem has to be mamish. Keim chayinu v'erachimenu kipshutai mamish. We should be zachar taka through his kashrus to the tzaddik. We should be zachar taka to be able to be misakin all of our neshamas, and it should be coming from very high place. And we should be zachar to do it benachas, v'chedva, v'simcha, v'tov leva, v'meroiv kol. It's also very much related to Hanukkah. What's the name of Hanukkah? Hanukkah is Yidden that are Hanukkah and Purim are like twin holidays, right? In the Kisvei, they're very much connected to each other, right? So it's like the there's a lot to mention over here. So Purim is a time where the Yidden, where our lives were in danger, right? Chanukah is a time where our spirituality was in danger. And the Chashmonaim go and are physically moiser nefesh for our spirituality, right? They didn't expect to be saved. It was an age. Rabbi Bavyatim, they didn't expect it. So it means that because the end of Chanukah is to recognize is that Torah, you can't separate. Like, yeah, we existed before our Sinai. But once our Sinai comes and it's Ruach HaDeshad Vagva, that's Bir Rishayna, now you can't separate anymore. Now, to isolate a Yid from Torah is taking a fish out of water, like Rabbi Kiva said. Anyway. It's Bekuach Nefesh. So either way, we're dead. That's the Inyan of Chanukah. That's also why I mentioned like the Mitzvah Rebbe, that Tes Kislev and Yud Kislev, which come together as like a Yud Tes Kislev, his birthday in Yortzeit and his day of Gula, which is the redemption of Chassidus and his participation in the redemption of Chassidus, it's one Inyan. You can't separate his personal existence, birth and Yortzeit, from the day of his Gula. It's one Inyan. So that's what I'm saying, the flyer that tonight is about his Yortzeit and so on, even though technically it's already about the day of Gula, it's the same thing. By the Midler Rebbe, it's the same thing. That's again, that's why Doiv Ber is related to Paras, to Persians. So you would think his Yortzeit birthday should be more Purim time, which is more Paras HaMadai, not Chanukah. But that's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush of Chanukah, is that once we are given the Torah, then the thread of Haman is the same thread as Yavan. It's you can't separate the two. It's Mamash Puch Nefesh. And that's what Chanukah is Mesiris Nefesh, like Mamash Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, because you can't separate it anymore between Torah and our life itself. That's they're together. Trace on for the Kshayt. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.